This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wiggins America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm going to need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like, whatever, dude.
Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand. You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
For you, as I work through a little bit of gunk today, this weekend, welcome to Wiggins America. I got a question for you that is not necessarily news related, but is definitely something that American society needs to address. And I think you'll agree once I ask this question that, yeah, there's a problem there. And it's not really political, although, you know, everything kind of, you can trace it back to something political or at least related to money, right? I'm going to ask you this question. What is the point of emergency rooms? I'm gonna let that sit there for a second. Think about it, because I'm guessing the last time you went to emergency room, don't know if it was yesterday, don't know if it was 10 years ago or longer, but with the last time you went to an emergency room, if it's been within the last probably 10 years or even maybe a little longer than that, you probably waited at least an hour to get in and be seen. And that's probably on the good side. Like, the last time that I can remember going into an emergency room personally was in 2023 here at the station. We had just gone on our Annie Fry trip to Disney World. And famously, I dehydrated and I got a kidney stone. Sorry, my mind isn't working very well this morning. I got a kidney stone. And I didn't know what it was. It was the first time I ever had that. So I went to the ER because I was woke up in the middle of the night and I thought I was dying. And I called my parents because my wife, my kids were young enough at the time, especially that she couldn't just leave the kids at home. And it was in the middle of the night. So I called my parents and my dad came, maybe with my mom, I don't remember, and picked me up 3 a.m. or whatever, drove me, and I said, drive me across the river because we're in Illinois. Drive me to Mercy or St. Luke's or whatever. And it was still probably a 2+ hour wait before they saw me, I think, around there. And that was pretty good. And that's including the like I'm not including the drive, but I'm including the drive in my assessment of what's the best one to go to. And the reason that I bring this up is because on Wednesday, my wife got a call from her mom, so my mother-in-law, saying that she needed to go to the ER. And I won't go into the reasons why. It wasn't like life-threatening or anything, but it was something that needed to be addressed right away. So we both went over, helped her into the car, and I said, don't go to the ER. Go to urgent care. And so we went to urgent care, and they treated her right away, but they also said, this is beyond our scope. You do have to go to ER. So then we parted ways, and I left, and my wife went with her mom. They went to an ER in Shiloh in O'Fallon, Illinois Memorial. And here's where I get back to that original question that I just asked you. What is the point of an ER? What's the point of an emergency room? Because at urgent care, we got in pretty quick, but they can't do everything there. So you go to the emergency room because you need immediate attention, right? That's the purpose of it. They did not get seen for over 8 hours at Memorial in Shiloh, Illinois, at the ER. And my mother-in-law, I think she's going to be okay. Like I said, it wasn't life-threatening, but we were referred to the ER by urgent care. Otherwise, I never want to go to ER. But I get back to that original question. What even is the purpose of having emergency rooms if you go there and you wait? I mean, literally, we could have probably, because that started at 6 p.m. It wasn't until almost the next morning that she got seen, where we could have just made a doctor's appointment for the next day at a doctor, regular doctor, and not had to sit in the emergency room all night waiting to be seen. So I'm just asking that question because I'm not really sure I know what the solution is, but I also know that there is a major problem there, and it's not one that gets talked about a lot. And hey, that's why we have this, is to talk through issues and talk through stuff that needs to be fixed in society, and it's not always just political. So let me also ask you this question. When was the last time you flew and had a terrible experience? Because I think this is another sector of American society that needs to be addressed badly, is flights. Because when it goes fine, it's like fine at best, unless you bought first class, which I don't do because it costs too much. But if you buy something that's like a little above coach, if you ever have a long enough flight, I would count that to be a good experience, except that I paid, so I'm not feeling that great about it. But when's the last time you had a really good experience on a flight? And when's the last time you had a really bad experience? Because another thing that happened this very week is that my wife was coming back from the East Coast. She went on a little vacation with her twin sister, and they came back, and they got to Toronto. It was a layover in Toronto. And they told her there, this is Air Canada, by the way, but it's not just Air Canada was having the problems. It was just flights. And it might have been related to smoke, but they didn't say it was. They said it was just mechanical. So, okay. So, I get it. You have a mechanical issue with a plane. You definitely have to address that, and stuff happens. But then what happens to the passengers? Because they just told her, they landed in Toronto, and they told her, your flight's canceled. You're on your own. That's it. Okay, so what do I do? I don't know. Let me look and see. And this is after talking to one of the agents. And because they don't come and like help you at all. You have to like seek them out. What do I do? It looks like we can get you home maybe in 3 days. Oh, okay, so are you going to pay for everything until then? No, you have to pay for it and then issue a reimbursement voucher, which they might not even honor. So that's another, to me, a major problem in American society is the injustice that you feel when you're in those situations. And I guess that's one of the nice things about having a radio show is that I can sort of pontificate on these things. But I don't want to solve them just for me. I want to solve these things for everybody. And the only thing I could come up with, but logistically this would be a nightmare, but it's something needs to happen where you have some sort of like intermediary consumer protection agency that's there to walk you through what happens when there's massive delays, when there's flight bumps, when they cancel you outright, that you like have a consumer care advocate that you can talk to. And is that a government thing? I don't know. Maybe they could mandate it, but I'm not sure. I love all these ideas. I'm just saying something needs to be done, because if you've ever been in that situation, and hey, write me if you have. Like, if you are just fuming about some issue that you've had like that, whether it be flights or ERs or anything else about American society, like, write me and let me know, because I'm in that mode right now where I want to hear it. I want to hear things that need to be solved about our modern society, because we got a lot going for us, man. We got a lot of conveniences. But the bigger we get, the more population we get, the better technology gets, there's going to be stuff that happens. And I think these are two areas that I was like, we got to highlight this stuff. This stuff needs to be fixed. And I'm going to tag Sean Duffy, Transportation Secretary, in this segment just to see if he'll respond to me. I'm just kidding. I don't know that he would listen to Wiggins America. But if he does, maybe he could come up with some sort of solution to this. I actually think it would be a bipartisan, very popular thing to come up with some sort of consumer advocacy agency that's there for you on behalf of you. It's like an intermediary between you and the airline, because you are just cut loose. I'll tell you what happened to my wife, just to conclude the segment. She was stranded in Canada, stranded in Toronto, and they said maybe 3 days you'd be home. And that's like if you're lucky. So they went to work and found themselves a flight into Chicago and then stayed overnight and took the train back to St. Louis the next day. And that was the absolute fastest I could have gotten her home. And those flights were filling up boom, 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 because they were canceling flights left and right. But that's all on our own. And now we have to issue a reimbursement voucher to get paid for all, like, the hotel and the other flight, and get money back from the flight they canceled, I guess. That's pretty normal, right? I mean, I hope that would be at least a pretty easy thing to do. But that stuff just drives me crazy. And I'd like to hear yours. At Radio Wiggins on Twitter, or you can message me on Facebook. I would love to see your messages. And by the way, I do get those. Sometimes it takes me a little while because Facebook doesn't notify me if we're not friends. So pardon me if it takes me a little bit longer to get back to you on Facebook, but I do get them eventually. So we'll talk about that and more. We got Madison coming up from Silver Dollar City. I can't wait to talk to her because I just paid them a visit and they got a lot going on. They got this big new thing that I'm going to try to get out of. I don't know if they actually announced it, but I'm going to see if I can pull out details about what they're getting ready to launch there next.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
I'm feeling the cracks. 97.1 FM Talk. So I just got back from Silver Dollar City. I had a really good time. It's not the first time I've been. In fact, we like to go annually, if we can make it, for sure. And we did this year and had a great time, as usual. The temperatures worked out really, really well. I'm not sure why. It's been very rainy this season, But we had a really, really good day. And Maddie and Brandy are here from Silver Dollar City. So thank you guys. And
that's
thank
right.
You.
A little rain in your city today, but we say back home, you know, a soggy day at Silver Dollar City beats a dry day anywhere else.
It's
so
true.
Bring it on.
It's true. And we had a really nice day. And so I've never actually been, I'm getting way off track immediately right here, but I've never been for Christmas. So I've only been when it's hot. Yeah, and I keep hearing like, oh, you gotta go for Christmas.
You have to come.
Because you guys have not only Silver Dollar City, but also I learned from you, Maddie, that you guys have the boat, which I've seen a thousand times. I've never done that. And I've heard that these things are like Christmas traditions.
Yes. Well, Silver Dollar City, every 6.5 million lights, every board of every building is covered in lights.
Okay.
In fact, July 1st is when we start hanging them because we what comes up
I
must
saw
come
that
down.
And I was like, why is that happening?
Because they fade. And so we take them down every year after Christmas. The crew is out there July 1st and it'll take them right up to the final hour to hang all 6.5 million. And
oh
so
my gosh.
It really is. Nobody does Christmas like Silver Dollar City. All of the holiday treats, Broadway style shows. We've got a new parade this year, which is twice the length of our former parade. The folks
this is a Christmas parade
in the streets.
Okay.
Yeah, several times a night. And the folks who are designing that are behind Disney's Halloween and Christmas parades. And so it's really more like a Maddie, I'd say it's almost like a show on the go.
Yes, it's the caliber of our Dickens Christmas Carol, those Broadway style shows, but out in the streets. It's going to be double the length of our parade that we retired last year. A lot of folks were sad when they heard that, but we're like, don't worry, we're bringing it back bigger and better. So that will debut this Christmas season, but lots of season left. You know, back to school is happening,
right?
But families can fill up that gas tank. It's one tank of gas down to Branson.
Oh, yeah.
Come and enjoy. And two visits pays for a Silver Dollar City passport when visiting, and there's so much season left.
I'm telling you right now, anytime. So right when I got back from going to Silver Dollar City, I talked about it on the air, and the chat lit up. I mean, it was all over the place. People just talking about how much they love not just Silver Dollar City, but Branson and just everything about it, you know. And I don't know if I touched on something that I'm like, oh, we need to talk about this more. But it was like everybody went crazy. But we're talking about Christmas so much, and I didn't intend to because you guys have this major announcement that I've been getting your press releases for like a couple months now or whatever. But now you're here, and I asked you, like, oh, can you announce it? And you're like, nope, it's in 2 weeks.
Well, and so here's the deal.
Okay.
This is the final year for folks to catch a ride on Thunderation. And so Thunderation, 33-year-old roller coaster, wooden coaster, this is the final season. It's last hurrah, and that is because the Marvel Cave Mining Company, boo, guys, have told us that they want to resume mining operations underneath Marvel Cave. And so they are evicting us off the mountain and the ride's got to go. But August 14th, we are going to be reading our next chapter out loud for all the world to hear. And I have a feeling that the guys from the Marvel Cave Mining Company might end up being the good guys after all.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'm holding the paper here because there's a line in here. You guys mentioned earlier about the parades and working with people from Disney.
Uh-huh.
I've said before to people who are not from the area who are, because I'm kind of a part of like theme park groups. I just love theme parks. And I'm like, you guys, if you've never been to Silver Dollar City in particular, like if you're part of the coastal, you know, movements and you're not in the middle of the country much, you guys have to check it out because Orlando obviously like has the top tier themes, but you have to experience Silver Dollar City because the theming is so immersive.
That's right.
That you don't like, I don't think you understand how good it is. And people are like, oh yeah, because like really, really intense theme park people have been there and they're like, oh yeah, you're right. But if you're just kind of like dabbling and you're just getting into that world, I'm like, you gotta come.
And there's a difference that people don't realize between amusement parks and theme parks, right? Amusement parks, you know, hot concrete and some great rides, but you don't really remember the people who took care of you, the costumes or whatever. Theme parks, and I think we do it best, is it's 1880s, and that's from the way they talk, the way they are dressed, the stories behind every attraction. Like I said, this Marvel Cave Mining Company, what is this?
And that's good stuff.
We brought Silas Boom to St. Louis. He's a bad guy, but he's in our minivan for this press trip.
You guys have a whole entourage there.
He's got the mining light, and he doesn't talk. He's just very sultry looking, and so, it's just part of that story, and if we don't tell our story, it's forgotten, and we want folks to feel immersed. I love that you said the word immersed, because that's what it is. Back to those simpler times when technology wasn't a thing, AI wasn't a thing. Put your phones down and just enjoy what life would have been in life back then, while against the backdrop of these world-class rides.
Yes, world-class rides. And a lot of folks, if you haven't been to Silver Dollar City, they don't know that it's built on top of Marvel Cave. So that's how it all started. That's a cave so large, the entrance, that you could fit the Statue of Liberty inside, and you can still tour that cave with your admission to the park.
Okay, so the line that I was referencing from your press release that I'm like, oh, I have to read it back to you just to see your facial reaction, because this gets me excited, and I know you can't like say what it is, but I'm waiting because I really want to know. It says, this anchors the largest investment we've ever made in the park's future. Now, that sounds like not just, oh, we have a new thing coming. This is a big, big
thing. So here's what the deal is. 2 years ago, we announced to our fans that we had acquired 1,200 acres surrounding Silver Dollar City, because we didn't want a Burger King popping up and junking up our views, right? So we planned to invest $500 million, billion with a B, over the next 10 years. The first phase of that is $150 million, which is this new, whatever it is.
It's this thing, okay.
This new thing, plus our Silver Dollar City Resort, which will also open in 2027. Highly themed resort, overlooking the beautiful Ozark Mountains, four-story panoramic views. So it's all about reinvesting and making sure our fans have new experiences and giving them a caliber of an attraction that's going to last. You know, our old Fire in the Hole lasted 52 years. Mm-hmm. Thunderation, 33 years. That's a good run, right? But we always got to keep the park fresh. That's why we have all these festivals, Maddie, right? We want folks to get that season passport, come multiple times a year, because the menu changes, the scenery changes, the costumes change, all
that's
the things.
That's right. So you're going to have to stay tuned on all of our social channels, guys. August 14th. You're going to want to tune in, find out what's coming, plan your visit. If you love Thunderation, come ride it one last time. When I think of that coaster, I just think of my childhood. So I was a little sad, but like Brandy said, Silver Dollar City is always looking to enhance the guest experience. So stay with us.
We absolutely will. Like I said, we like to come at least once a year, although we're talking about coming back for Christmas.
You have to.
Because you guys have talked it up so much. Actually, it's not just you guys. Like, you're supposed to talk it up. That's what you do. But I've had so many people tell me, oh no, you have to go back for Christmas time, because it really is impressive. And I mean, people who aren't even theme park people are like, oh no, you got to go to Silver Dollar City and do the Showboat. Am I getting the right name?
The Silver Dollar City Showboat.
Okay.
We own that as well. Okay. It's the largest vessel on a landlocked lake, which is Table Rock Lake. So it's about a 2.5 hour, 3 hour experience. You get a great meal. You get a fantastic show with great entertainers. That, of course, transforms for Christmas as well. And then you can sail through Table Rock Lake and see the beautiful views.
Fantastic. So we are out of time, but follow Silver Dollar City on Facebook or socials in general.
And
right?
Check out our website, silverdollarcity.com.
And your website. And then, of course, we will announce that as soon as I find out. I will let you know. So stay tuned and you'll find out more about Silver Dollar City. Thanks, you guys.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
It's all because of you.
All right, have you ever had a friend who was liberal but then started to maybe shift, or vice versa, was conservative and started to shift? I've had a few who were liberal who just over the course of time, I didn't see it happen quickly, but just over a span of 20 years, now would say, yeah, the Democrat Party is just a little bit too radical for me. And these are people who have actually worked with the Democrat Party, like done videography for them and done things with the actual party apparatus, who are now saying, yeah, it's just a little far past where I am. And it's, I think it's just a matter of the party moving, you know, of course, further and further away from the center, and the person being still the same. And Elon Musk said this. He said, I used to be a Democrat, but the shift, the paradigm shift has moved, and I haven't, and therefore now I'm considered on the right. I wouldn't even say he's probably conservative. He's just probably right of center and just sees the problems with, especially fiscal problems with the way Democrats go about things. Republicans are not like a lot better, but they are better. And so I think one of the reasons he joined the party was to try to shift Republicans into a category that was actually going to fix things and not just moving slower toward the same cliff. I don't know that he actually got it there, but I think Doge was a very valiant effort and is still kind of part of the lexicon of the administration, even if it's not a physical agency. But anyway, I say all that because I'm kind of asking you openly if you have somebody in your life who's like that, who at some point had been a part of the conservative side and switched, or more likely, what I've seen anyway, is that they were part of a liberal conclave and then has shifted right or hasn't moved as the party's moved left. That's more common because when you know people when they're young, they tend to be a little more liberal and especially socially liberal. And then as they get older, they realize, oh, you know what? Like, we actually need to batten down the hatches here. So it's more common that you have somebody move from liberal to conservative. But I've never seen it happen in real time as it is happening in real talk with Bill Maher. Because I've seen it happen with celebrities before, but it's either kind of under the cover of night where they're not real open about it, and then they come out later and you're like, oh, they actually are kind of conservative. You know, like I'm thinking about Gwen Stefani. I don't know of her politics, but she's come out as Christian more recently, and some of the things she says are very much more about traditional values. Whereas you didn't hear that earlier in her career, and she, of course, has said she has become a Christian. Or somebody like Chris Pratt, who you didn't really know where they were, but they don't really talk politics a lot, but they do seem to lean right, at least in their sort of worldview philosophy, even if you don't apply that entirely to politics. Dennis Miller is a really good one. He was very publicly a liberal when he was on Saturday Night Live for probably most of the time, and then shifted right over the span of his entire career to the point where he actually became a right-wing talk show host. And I'm surprised that he didn't really stick with that. I don't know if maybe it didn't stick with him or he didn't stick with it. I don't know which. But regardless, that's probably the most public version that I can remember is Dennis Miller, of somebody shifting from left to right. Until now, we're watching this happen over a number of years, like daily with Bill Maher. And most celebrities you don't hear from that often, so you don't see it happen like so openly as it is happening with Bill Maher. But he started by questioning some of the things from the far left. Well, now listen to this clip, and it's kind of a super cut. I don't know if this is all from one show. I think it is, where he's talking about taxes, and tell me the difference between what he's saying and just what we would say in the general conservative consensus. I mean, they sound very similar.
Someone has to explain the American economy to me. I know I've said this before. I still don't get it. Last week was tax day, and as usual, because HBO is so generous, and I'm sure so will be the new owners. I paid to the government, if you add in state tax, local sales, property fees, Obamacare, probably almost 60% of what I earn. That's a lot. And I still wouldn't mind if Bernie Sanders would stop saying the rich don't pay taxes. And while I'm sure the super rich, with their army of accountants and corporate loopholes, get away with murder, us regular rich people pay a shit ton of taxes. And who stands up and gives us a pat on the back? Nobody, that's who. The top 10% pay 72% of all federal income taxes, and the bottom half, 3%. The Democratic Socialists talk about socialism like we don't already have a lot. Social Security, unemployment, Medicare, nutritional assistance, Medicaid, Obamacare, disability, housing subsidies. Again, not against it. Just the same question. How can you be soaking the rich and failing the poor so badly? How can it be that the federal government alone took in over $5 trillion in taxes last year and we still need that? Are we really this incompetent and corrupt? Don't answer that. But here's the truth. You're not going to get health care to these people by threatening to tax and eat the rich. You raise billionaires' taxes, they just leave the state. Or they leave the country. Or in some cases, the planet.
So a couple of things that he says there, and one of them I really like, it's that socialists don't realize that we already have most of what they're talking about. Like when they say universal health care, we already have universal health care. Hospitals cannot refuse anybody. And if you're just talking about having health care for anybody who's poor, we already have that. So what are socialists actually advocating for? They're advocating for health care for rich people to come from the government. Ooh, have you ever thought about that? Because we already have health care for free. And when I say health care, I'm talking about health insurance. I should clarify. We already have all that for free for the poor. So I'm not really sure what socialists are asking for there, and I'm not sure they're sure. I guess they're talking about a single payer system where the government is actually paying hospitals directly instead of through insurance. But my goodness, we already have a lot of these systems in place. And that's just one example. Bill Maher highlighted a whole bunch of them there very quickly. But the other is, I've said this before already, but I was in Branson last weekend, and it's such a weird place. It's such a fun place, and there's a lot of money there, and there's a lot of shows, but then there's also like places where theaters have gone out of business and stuff. But then they get resurrected by some other new act that comes through, and it's just kind of like it's nice capitalism on display. And I don't know what it was about driving through there, but I thought, for the amount of taxes that we pay, and not particular to Branson, I'm just saying that's where I was when I was thinking about this. For the amount of taxes that we pay and the amount of overprinting of money that we do, we should have basically utopias, like cities that you drive into, because I don't think you could do this through the entire country, but there should be areas that you drive into that are just perfect. But they're not, because we waste so much money. And a lot of, actually, I'm going back to the point that I was making here a second ago, a lot of the money that we waste is on healthcare. We have a lot of waste, and we have a lot of fraud in healthcare. It's amazing. But anyway, I just thought that's amazing to sort of wrap up the idea of, do you have a friend who's moved from liberal to conservative over their life, or quickly? And have you ever seen it happen in public so much as we're watching it happen to Bill Maher?
It's all because of you.
Trisha, I have two stories here that involve sex and politics.
Wow. Okay.
Here we go. But they seem to be at odds to me, which is why I brought both of them. The first one is that Fox News is reporting, and many others too, I think they may have pulled this from Axios, said that Democrats are largely avoiding transgender issues ahead of election season.
Interesting. Have you noticed that in reporting or in the...
I've noticed that they try to sidestep the questions. Now, a lot of times, most of these politicians, they're doing friendly interviews. They're not getting asked anything that's going to be controversial or tough anyway. But when they do, they're sort of like Rahm Emanuel, Gavin Newsom, they have sidestepped those questions or said fully that they're like, I just don't think that men should be competing against women in sports. Something like that. You're like, wow, a Democrat said that's very controversial. Shouldn't be, but it is. But Fox News is saying for the most part, Democrats are trying to just avoid the issue.
It does seem like the issue is not as front and center.
Yeah.
How much of that, though, is Iran and like the spectacle over here?
Okay.
Because they don't need the touting of like where the
social issues, because you have a bigger thing going on.
Well,
you're talking about it more in terms of the current news cycle. I'm saying that they just
overall philosophically like, are moving away
from it. Put any current news story aside. They're just trying to not bring that issue up, which makes sense because you have your far left progressives who you can't appease unless you're like James Tallarico saying, oh, you're my friend with a uterus. Like they want that language. But then you have a lot more moderate Democrats who are really your more silent majority in the party, mm-hmm. I think, who they kind of believe, yeah, this is all a little silly, but they also know that they kind of have sided with it, so they don't want to talk about it. And you have most of the politicians kind of finding that lane.
I think more than silly, although I don't necessarily like completely disagree with you on the word silly, but I think more than that, it's a lot of people in that silent majority that really just want everybody to be happy. Like, there's no reason, like, you live your life, I live my life, and at somewhere the rub, it's that point where, like, your life impacts my life.
Yeah, there's always going to be friction points.
And there will be, but that, you know, obviously, like, the sports is an issue that people get, like, ooh, I don't know. Because up until a point, I'm actually very left on this issue. I'm very much like...
Live your life. Well, that's libertarian.
Like, just do you do you. I don't care. I'm happy. You be you. I support you as a human. When you get to like the kids and the sports stuff, that's when it gets like real.
Yeah. And bathrooms and changing rooms and stuff. That's where you almost have to address it. Because that's where most Republicans, conservatives I know, they may disagree with the lifestyle or agree with the lifestyle. They most of them don't want to get in your business.
Yeah.
They're like, do what you're going to do. But then the minute you come into my daughter's changing room, now it impacts me. Mm-hmm. And now we got to talk about it. And so this article is just saying that those issues are very, very much social hot button issues. And Democrats are trying to avoid them, which makes sense to me.
Well, because they probably got to that rub point and decided,
yeah,
I don't really have a great argument for man and woman bathroom.
And part of the big autopsy report that Democrats did on why they lost 2024, one of the biggest issues they brought up was advertisements, which I never actually saw these ads. Maybe it's because we live in two states that aren't really swing states, so they weren't, you know, putting a lot of national attention into us. But they had ads apparently in a lot of swing states that said, Kamala Harris is for they, them. Donald Trump is for you.
Yeah, I heard that.
And it's a genius ad. Mm-hmm. It's a great ad. Super quick, to the point, gets your point across. Everybody gets it. And Democrats said, yeah, that was super effective. And so if it was effective, they want to shy away from it without alienating the far left of the party. All that to say that I pulled this other article here that seems to be doing the exact opposite thing. Now, this one isn't fully political, but I just get the sense that as I read it, you'd go, well, I think I know which political party these people would fall into without trying. And it's a weird connection, but it's just an article from Parade magazine about what is demisexual. So these new words that they add on to the acronym and say, oh, and it's not just LGBT, it's Q and it's IA and it's 14 other letters and
what
numbers.
What is demisexual?
They're now trying to add demisexual. And your question is the same as everybody else's. What is demisexual now? Sex therapist Jackie Golob, founder of Shameless Therapy, said that demisexual means needing an emotional connection with someone before having sex with them. Now...
Is that something we have to identify as?
That's a great question.
Can we just stop identifying as everything? Like,
right?
If consenting adults want to do whatever they want to do, that's fine. But like, because you want to have an emotional connection with whatever partner you're going to have, like that, I don't think that's an identifier.
Well, it's almost isolating it as if it's strange.
Yeah. Like that is not a unique, that should not be, let's normalize some like intimacy and emotional intimacy before physical intimacy in society.
Yeah. This has been really the way sex happens at all forever. And now they're like, oh no, that's a category, which means that they've gotten so far down the rabbit hole that a lot of people within these other acronyms have zero emotional connection to the people that they're having sex with.
I wonder how much this is going to get a little past PG, but I wonder how much the porn culture has impacted this categorizing everything.
It's a good question. Like all your fetishes are everything. Now identities.
And it's almost like now that since we've like digitized everything, there's like a box, a literal box to check for whatever it is. And now even to the point where we're like, ooh, I want the box for emotional intimacy.
Right. I mean, it's really weird that you have to say this as like, oh, no, that's a separate thing. That's an identifier.
That's its own thing. Everything else is very transactional.
Right. Like, yeah. Well, you're just having sex because you like it.
Yeah.
And this is what you love. But here's where I say, okay, I read this paragraph and I went, there's almost political implications to this. It says relationship therapist and psychotherapist at a group called the Racial Equity Therapist.
Okay.
Those words I didn't even know needed to be included in this. Racial equity in therapy?
I just throwing a lot in one title.
So her name is Dominique Harrison, and she's part of this racial equity therapy group. Notes that some other signs of demisexuality include folks who rarely experience sexual attraction and may have very few examples of sexual and romantic feelings to reflect on in their life. They rarely initiate conversations about sex and don't often have thoughts, feelings, and actions involving sex that match their peers. Goes on to say they need to have an emotional connection with somebody before they
to get, like trigger their sex drive.
Yes. Okay. Which I mean is really to put these kind of clinical terms to it makes it sound bizarre when it's very natural. Mm-hmm. The way that I connect this politically is just to say, because they're not trying to connect it politically at all, but you hear words
but
like
we
that.
Know it's, yeah, we can.
You go, I think I know the, where
yeah,
you
where
are.
Land on that.
On in the political aisle. And this would probably put you in the very far left. They have not stopped talking about this stuff. So you go back to this other article and say, well, okay, Democrats at large and maybe your figurehead politicians, they don't want to be talking about it. But your base, they're still very much talking about it.
I still wonder in a post-Trump world where Democrats, how much Democrats would emphasize these issues again. Because right now, it's just so like blindly Trump bad. Everything Trump's doing is bad.
It's uniting.
It's uniting in a way that they don't really have to go out of their way to like stand on platform. Like they don't have to come up with issues. So I'm not saying Trump isn't doing a bang up job, because I think you can look at a lot of areas of this presidency and say he's doing a great job. But if Trump didn't have these things lingering that had a lot of the people in the middle going, it's getting expensive. I don't really want people doing that or this or that or the other thing. They might have to like really focus on what they stand for, like if he were killing it.
And that's actually one of the reasons that I like bringing up these things, because when there's an election, everybody kind of goes, okay, what's the lesser of two evils? I mean, always, not just with Trump, but literally any election between two people, you're sacrificing something of your beliefs to vote for somebody.
Yeah, you're never going to get a perfect candidate.
Yeah, you're not 100% with anybody. So I wonder if it's important to bring up the things that the far version of at least the Democrat Party is still believing in. Because the minute and either an election comes up or a Democrat gets elected, I don't think this stuff's gone away.
No.
It's still there. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it's just kind of like, let's put it aside for the moment.
Like we don't need it at this point.
Yeah.
When
let's
do we bring it back?
Coalesce so that we can try to get back power. And then let's go full back into this.
Because of you.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
As the school year ramps up, so does the time your family spends online, whether it's helping with homework, managing busy schedules, or staying connected. It's a great time to refresh your digital life, but you need a digital sidekick that works quietly in the background without slowing you down. That's where Webroot comes in. Webroot offers flexible protection for individuals and families, from standalone products to all-in-one bundles. While you handle the back-to-school rush, Webroot works to block harmful websites before you click, keeps your password secure and easy to manage, and even optimizes your devices to keep them running smoothly. It's fast, light, and effective protection designed for your everyday life. Go to webroot.com/odyssey to get 60% off today. That's webroot.com/odyssey. Live a better digital life with Webroot, because peace of mind shouldn't be optional. Visit webroot.com/odyssey today to get 60% off. Again, that's webroot.com/odyssey.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.